All right, so even though we told you you'd only be getting new episodes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, here we are on a Thursday because a lot of stuff happened and we're ready to talk about it. Here we go. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It's Dylan Campione joined alongside Nico Fernandez. And here we are on this Thursday morning, and we've got a lot of baseball to talk about because I know the emergency slash instant reaction episodes were people's favorites during the off season. Of course, during spring training and the regular season, we figured we were probably done with them, but no, the MLB world decided that a random Thursday in the middle of spring training, when a year ago from today we're in the middle of the WBC, we need some action and we got it. Dylan Cease has been traded. Gerrit Cole's elbow is barking. Devin Williams' back is barking. A lot of other stuff running around the league, but those are the three big topics we're going to talk about. But Nico, how you doing?
Good, bro. I mean, it's bittersweet that we have some stuff to talk about as we'll get into it. But again, news is good. It's always good to see news in spring training because, again, we're kind of hitting the spot where it seems like nothing's going to happen. But again, right now we're in an age where this may be extended for a lot of spring training because we have so many guys in the free agent market and so many things that can happen that these days may be more common than we think.
So let's talk about the positive news, because obviously there's two negative stories coming out of today. But the positive slash interesting one is the Dylan Cease trade. It had been talked about really for the last 72 hours. Maybe it was the Gerrit Cole injury that sparked conversations again around Dylan Cease. And the Padres upped their offer. They gave away three of their top 10 prospects, Drew Thorpe, Samuel Zavala, and Jairo Uriarte, as well as their reliever that was apparently going to be in the mix for their closer spot, Steven Wilson. All four of those guys are now headed to Chicago. Dylan Cease now slots into a rotation that I know a couple of weeks ago we were saying they needed Blake Snell. It's come around nicely. You got Dylan Cease, you got Yu Darvish, you got Joe Musgrove, Michael King is there as well. I'm blanking on the five. Matt Waldron, rookie prospect that they think is going to be great for the number five role, as well as Johnny Brito, Adrian Morejon, Randy Vasquez. So we'll go from the Padres perspective first. Your thoughts on that, and then we'll go to the White Sox. But Nico, you take it away.
Look, I mean, I'm not the one in this podcast that's like very high on Dylan Cease. I love Dylan Cease, but Henry's usually the one that talks so much about him. But I'll take his job right now. I think this is great for the Padres. I think that they're kind of in this weird spot where they have a pretty good farm system, but at the same time, they're trying to be in this win now mode, where even though they had to, cut some capital with like Juan Soto and things like that, they still have Tatis and Machado, which makes them want to take a push. And if they truly want to take a push, this is the exact way you go. You go and you leverage some of the guys that you've had, like Drew Thorpe, which you got in the trade, and you go and you leverage that into getting a guy like Dylan Cease. And you didn't have to get your Robert Hassels of the world and your Ethan Salases of the world. I think this is great. I do think that as more data got released and more stuff on it, I did think it was a lot more balanced than at first I thought it was, because at first I thought it was only Drew Thorpe. So I was like, whoa, just one for one. I kind of really like that. But I think this is a lot more balanced now. I think that, again, if you're trying to make a push, you need a number one. And I think Musgrove has shown that he's a solid number two, three, but he's not, it doesn't look like he's going to be that true one. And Yu Darvish is kind of on the back end of his career. So you kind of need that number one guy. And if there's any guy that you can get right now, it's a guy like Dylan Cease, because again, I think he's the only person in that rotation right now that has Cy Young potential. I think we're past that with Yu Darvish, and I don't think Musgrove is at that potential. And I think for you to make a push, you kind of need that guy. It's a very similar trade to what the Orioles did, where it's like we need a guy who has Cy Young potential, and that's what Dylan Cease brings.
See, this is the one problem though with what you just said is first off, Robert Hassel's not in the organization anymore. They
Wait,
traded him
what?
for Juan Soto. He
That's
was
right. Oh my
deal.
God.
But here's the second part of that
Robert
problem.
Hassels is now with the Padres?
I
Damn.
know.
I
When
really
the
right now.
Padres realized that, hey, we're going to trade Soto, the main piece in that deal is Drew Thorpe. And now Drew Thorpe was just traded for Dylan Cease. And again, we're saying Dylan Cease is a good starting pitcher. But you just traded, in essence, Juan Soto for 2 years of Dylan Cease. Because the only other teams in the deal,
No, I don't think it's
Michael
that.
King was in the deal, but so was Trent Grisham that you just lost. And you also parted with your closer and Steven Wilson, so that cancels out the Kyle Higashioka addition or whatever you want to say. In essence, the main blockbuster piece that went both ways in these two deals is Drew Thorpe. And as much as I love Dylan Cease, and you're saying he has Cy Young potential, I don't really see that, but
Could you see, 2 years, he's 2 years removed from second place.
yeah, and it's been a natural decline since then. His stuff is going down. His little red circles is going down. Again, I think he's a solid pitcher.
We're
But when you're
not
talking
talking
about
more
Juan
than
Soto as a
30
top
40.
five, but Juan Soto is a top five player in baseball, and Drew Thorpe is expected to be a future ace of a team, and you give him up for Dylan Cease, the optics just look bad that that's the guy that you end up trading in this deal when he was supposed to be the return package centerpiece of our generational talent.
I agree, but at the same time, like you have to look at this both in a vacuum and both contextually. Contextually, it's bad for the simple reason of, and I've said it before on the podcast, it sucks to be in this weird spot that the Padres are in where you're kind of not good enough to really make that push. There's kind of teams better than you, but at the same time, like you have some prospects who are a couple years away, like Ethan Salas is very young. He's not like going to be in the big leagues for what seems like 3 years at the minimum. So since you're in that weird spot, obviously like this trade isn't gonna look good. I would push back on what you say about Dylan Cease, though. I think that one, Juan Soto, I think Juan Soto was almost seen as a lost cause with everything that happened with the Padres financials. It really seemed like there was no way that Juan Soto was gonna be a Padre. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I don't
If
get then when you trade away Soto, then don't trade away your top prospects
I
for
that
Soto.
I agree with, and that goes to the fact that they're in a weird spot.
Yeah.
But again, if you're talking about it in a vacuum, I don't think it's bad because I think again you're talking about a guy who you weren't gonna have. So it's more like we're trying to get what we can out of this guy who's leaving, and now we're getting Dylan Cease. From that perspective, I like it. If we're talking about the overarching narrative, yeah, the Padres are still in a bad spot because yeah, you traded a prospect when if we're talking about yeah, you could surprise some teams, but I don't think anyone's still thinking World Series aspirations.
Or just go
For a,
sign Jordan Montgomery. As we're saying, those two guys are still right out there, and you
but that's
don't have
still
a
money
candidate.
problem. The thing is, they can't use money.
Then
The
you have to
problem
admit
with
defeat. If you can't use money, you have to admit defeat for now and reset.
agreed. If you're talking, if we're talking about the whole Padres
Yes.
franchise structure, absolutely. But at the fact of the matter is, they have Manny Machado, who's not getting any younger, and Tatis on a big deal. So what you're looking for, you can't get a guy like Montgomery, and you can't re-sign a guy like Snell because it's just going to be too much money. What they're trying to do is make this last push, and from that perspective, it's a good idea to get a guy like Dylan Cease, who you're going to have for 2 years, paying what, $12 million a year. Like you're going to pay him $12 million a year. If you're trying to make the push, this is the move.
But if you're
Now,
trying to
they
make the
should make
push,
the
then
push.
just keep Juan Soto for 1 year and go for it this year.
But the problem is that their offense.
Well, you could have found a player in your system of equal caliber to Drew Thorpe.
You couldn't find someone in your system equal to Dylan Cease.
I'm saying you could have made the Dylan Cease trade and still kept Juan Soto. There's not that like just because Drew Thorpe is interlocked in both of those trades doesn't mean the Padres like could have taken Dylan Lesko instead of Drew Thorpe.
But yeah, but then I could tell you just keep those people, keep Dylan Lesko. Like it's the same thing. Like, okay, it's what is this trade different? If you're talking about optics, I'm gonna be honest, I could care less about
I'm not
optics.
talking
Like,
about, I'm saying that the Padres could
then,
have kept Juan Soto and also traded for Dylan Cease if their mentality is go for it in 2024.
true, that is
Because,
true.
and why I wasn't saying like, oh, it's because of the whole, I was saying that it's, they couldn't, like, they didn't have to trade Soto to get Drew Thorpe in order to make this trade. Like, they could have found a Dylan Lesko already there
Yeah, but
and
now you
made this
keep
trade.
Dylan Lesko. But now you keep Dylan
Yeah, but who, aren't you trying in this year? So, like,
Lesko. That's again, and this just goes to the fact of the Padres situation where they're in this the worst no man's land possible, where it's like you're not good enough, but at the same time, you're good enough to try and make a push, but you're not good enough to realistically win it. You're gonna have to go and surprise people to win it, which is like where it's a really crappy situation, but from just
they're
a
still below
player.
the Dodgers. They're
From
still
just a
below the
front nine
D-backs.
perspective, from just a starting nine perspective, you can't. It's a great move. I personally, again, I think this also has to do with how both of us see Dylan Cease.
No, it helps them in 2024. I'm not, it's a very good rotation now. It's just
apart from the
massive holes.
yeah, apart from the French from the franchise being a mass meaning in that purgatory that we're talking about, this is one of the bigger questions. You think Dylan Cease can get back to being a second Cy Young voting?
Not sacking, but I can think he'd be like an ace type pitcher.
That's if that's kind of where we're differing. I personally think that maybe he won't, but I do think that he still has the stuff and he still has the ability to get to that point. I guess this is where me and Henry differ from you. And I think when you have a guy who has that potential, I don't see this traded. If we want to go and talk about how the Padres just are an utter disaster because they go and they're kind of in this weird spot, that's a completely different conversation. But if, from a point of trying to make a push this year, I think that Dylan Cease helps the Padres more than Juan Soto would this year, which seems weird, which seems weird. But when we're talking about what their ro rotation was looking like, of they were losing Snell again because we talked about the money situation, Yu Darvish, Musgrove, and
I'm
no
gonna
one.
push back on that because name the Padres starting outfield right now.
But I don't need Tatis. That's all I need. If we're talking at the end of the day, yes, we're saying outfield, but you really need more look at lineup. From a
Okay,
lineup
name the
perspective,
Padres line.
again, Tatis and
Okay.
Machado. So the
Who?
question is, what
I'll pitch
else
around them.
in a
Right now
vacuum?
hitting fifth is Jurickson
I would have to agree with you. That is bad. But again,
Profar.
who's okay? Name the rotation without Dylan Cease.
Darvish, Musgrove, King, Waldron, and stick Patino in the five.
Okay.
I'd take that five over Jerickson Profar hitting fifth. It's a worst of two evils, but I'd have to agree the rotation's a little bit. Plus,
The rotation's bad.
keep
That's
your
the thing. The
closer.
rotation's bad.
Keep your closer, because that's also part of this too. They traded away their closer in this deal.
But Stephen Wilson, like, again, that's more of a hope than what he actually is.
Let me check his numbers from last year before I make, because I'm
You
not.
don't think Stephen Wilson's a top? Okay, perfect. Like this is Stephen Wilson a top 10 reliever in baseball right now?
Well, we just proved he's not a couple
Exactly,
weeks
exactly. That's why I asked that question.
ago.
But I guess just to me, like I think if you're building a championship team, and this is again what they're trying to build, it's more an attempt. We're talking about their attempts. Dylan Cease, I think, is more pertinent. I think you need a number. I just am of the belief that you need a number one come October. I think
I
the
just
big.
see there's a more likely chance. Like, okay, here's the question for you, and then we'll move on to the other topics because we want to keep this one short for our listeners. Is there a better chance that Dylan Cease is starting game one of a wild card series, either this year or next year, in a Padres uniform? Or this turns into a Juan Soto situation where this offseason they traded away Robert Hassel and CJ Abrams to get Juan Soto in order to less than a year later flip him for a much lesser prospect in Drew Thorpe. So essentially, they rented Soto for a non-playoff season in order to get rid of their number one and number two prospect for a guy that was maybe five or six. So, AKA, they traded their number one pitching prospect, Drew Thorpe, today to get Dylan Cease. And a year from now, Dylan Cease is being traded as a rental for maybe a top 10 at best prospect.
Dylan Cease starts game one.
Really?
If we're counting wild card,
Really?
yeah, I would say so.
I
Because
can't see
again,
this Padres team as a wild card team.
my whole thing is, I still think, and again, this is again where we differ. I think with Tatis and Machado, I think they can still be a top 15 to top 10 offense in baseball, just because of them two. And again, we're talking about Cronenworth could have a bounce back year. We haven't even talked about Cronenworth. I know he's gotten paid to the what people see as a very player friendly contract. He still could have a bounce back year. There's a lot of pieces in this lineup. Obviously, Jurickson Profar at fifth is not what you want to see, but there are still pieces in this lineup that you like. Again, the two stars, and then Cronenworth can have a bounce back year. There's definitely a world that they have a top 15 to top 10 offense. And the big problem is we're going to have a bottom, very close to the bottom pitching rotation, which I've seen firsthand. Does not work. It's not a recipe for success. Having the 25th best ERA and a consistent top 10 offense gets you last in the AL East.
I don't know. It seems like they need to either make up their mind of contending and then you have to spend money, which if you can't get out of the ownership business, or
That's the bigger.
But I will say the Padres lineup as projected on our rankings, and if you go to CiderTiredPod.com, you will see the roster resource that we update daily there. We have it as Cronenworth is leading off, Tatis, Machado, Bogaerts. Very solid 1 through 4. Again, no one's arguing that. Profar is fifth. Let's play a game of raise your hand if you've heard of these players. Matthew Batten is hitting sixth. Jose Azokar is hitting seventh. Luis Campusano and his 0.95 average is hitting eighth. And then you have Ha-Seong Kim in the double leadoff is nine. I think, unfortunately, 90% of our listeners don't know 6 through 8 in the Padres lineup.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna say that
again,
you don't know one of those people at least.
this is, and this is, I hate just using context. The same thing could have been true for the Red Sox lineup last year. And where were they? They were a top 10 offense.
Yeah, and they finished dead last in the division.
I know because what didn't they didn't have pitching. So it's not like this team can't be a top 15 to top 10 offense. I think that even though they have 6 through 8 is not great. I think that they still have the potential to be a top 10 offense. And I think they need to, if they want a chance at making the wild card, I think they need a Dylan Cease.
All right, and I know that they're money poor and we're also poor on time. Now that you've made this move, can you just go sign Adam Duvall? Can you sign Tommy?
I
Can we
would
get
be.
Jerickson Profar like maybe seventh in the like just a little
That's
bit
the
lower
perfect
for us?
signing.
Like,
Adam
especially 'cause of
Duvall
this
is
late
perfect.
in the offseason, Duvall's gonna get what, $3 to $5 million, which is getting criminally underrated.
Which
But
is, yeah, terrible. I
for
mean, I
$3 million,
saw it firsthand. I
sign
saw
him for
firsthand.
$3 million. You will immediately like this lineup, then we'll get rid of the Matthew Battens of the world and Tommy Pham, Adam Duvall. There's a
Yeah.
couple other, like, I'm not saying JD Martinez, although that would be sick, but I'm just saying cheaper $3 to $5 million deals, easy for this team.
Even
But
though they'd be right-handed dominant, Duvall is the perfect signing for this team right now.
I'm looking through to see if there's anybody else. Tommy Pham, Michael Taylor,
No.
Brandon Belt is a DH right there.
Like that, left-handed bat, but
Kyle
they
Lewis, Jesus
definitely need
Ferreira.
another piece. They need a budget piece. And the good thing about it is that there are a lot of the one thing that has not gotten signed in free agencies, budget hitters. And there's
Corey
a lot of
Dickerson.
budget
Corey
hitters.
Dickerson would probably go league minimum right now if you wanted to sign him.
Yeah. There's a
Dominic
lot of
Solano.
budget-friendly batters that you can get right now that will just help your team exponentially with how that 6 through 8's looking.
Yeah. Let's talk about a sucky situation. And that is that the one guy that's been the pillar of consistency when it comes to health in Major League Baseball over the last 5 years in the pitching world, Gerrit Cole, looks like it's not going to be the case this year. The Yankees have already confirmed he's out the first month or two. He's now flying out. This has been confirmed to Dr. Neil Alatroche in Los Angeles. Alatroche is obviously the guy that is known for the Tommy John surgeries and for Aaron Rodgers' Achilles surgery. When you go out there, it's usually not a good sign, but the Yankees are remaining optimistic. They're saying that as of right now, they don't see a tear. We will see what happens. Of course, that's the reporting of people like Andy Martino. We should know more by the end of the week. But, when we figured we were going to record about Dylan Cease today, but you have to bring this situation up as much as it's not fun to talk about.
I mean, this is absolute worst case scenario for the Yankees. I mean, apart from just the fact of losing your ace is just terrible. When you look at the situation that the Yankees had, it was, yeah, we're very risk oriented in our 2 through 5. We had Nestor Cortez, who you hope he bounces back this year, is what he was for the last 2 years before that. Carlos Rodon, who same thing, because of injuries, he looked like a shell of himself. The year prior. Let's see, who else do we got? Sorry, I'm not a Yankee fan.
Marcus Stroman, come on.
Stroman does solve that. Stroman, but again, Stroman's not a number one. You have a lot of guys who are either low ceiling, high floor, or just very risk. And the one thing that was tying that all together is like at minimum, we know what we're getting on every fifth day. We're getting the best pitcher in baseball. Losing that is just the worst blow that could have happened to this team because he was, again, we weren't really talking about him being important to the success because, again, we really just assumed like his health. This is, again, I think that this is a bigger blow, which because of just Juan Soto, it has to be a bigger blow than Aaron Judge just because the rest of the rotation is just so risky that it seems like if he's, I don't see a deep playoff run if he's not back.
Absolutely, because I love Marcus Stroman, and as I have said multiple times on the podcast, big believer that he's going to do well there. You're now penciling in Cody Poteet or Luke Weaver to make a start every fifth day. Now, apparently the Yankees made an interesting offer on Dylan Cease. It didn't include Spencer Jones, but they did make an offer in the last 24 to 48 hours. We know he went elsewhere. Blake Snell's there. Like, as much as we love to say there's no Gerrit Cole replacement, and there's not, because Gerrit Cole is a pillar of consistency of every fifth day, 7 innings, 1 run, 2 runs, 34 starts a year. Blake Snell, as we know, has the chance to go 7 innings, no runs, but also has the chance to go 2 innings, 6 runs, or walk the house and put up an ERA of 4 on a season or an ERA of 2.2. But he's the best pitcher available coming off the best season in baseball. Why not? Money's not an issue for the New York Yankees. It makes too much sense. And Aaron Boone even hinted at it today because we're not going to play in inside rumors and stuff like that. We're going to play into just what's been reported to the public and give our opinion. They asked him, so Cole's out for opening day. And he said, yeah, it's confirmed. Who's starting opening day now? And he said, well, I have Carlos Rodon still penciled in as the number two. So there's two ways of interpreting that. Blake Snell's going to walk in pinstripes in Tampa, Florida in 24 hours, or it's officially stropening day. Marcus Stroman is going on opening day for the New York Yankees, going STR capital opening day. I love our puns here at Sider Tired. But I just
Wow.
think, regardless of the fact, the Yankees now need to add some form of starting pitching, whether it's a Snell or Montgomery, or it's the not as fun Michael Lorenzen, Noah Syndergaard type of pitcher, because you can't, with World Series aspirations, which they do have, it's unlike the Padres where they were undecided on they're going to compete. The Yankees had, quote a previous episode from a week or two ago, World Series or bust. Fact. And just because one guy gets hurt, Edwin Diaz, you can't all of a sudden say your season is awry and that the World Series aspirations are over. This team is still a World Series or bust franchise. And now you need to figure out how to do well without the ace.
First off, Edwin Diaz is not nearly the blow that Gerrit Cole is. That's number one. As much as you want to make excuses for the Mets.
Jacob
Sidebar.
deGrom was, though.
Yeah, but don't say Edwin Diaz.
All right, I'll say Jacob deGrom.
Don't say Edwin Diaz. That's all. As long as we're not saying talking about a guy who pitches 7 innings all the time to a guy who pitches 1 inning, we're good. Second, I
Pause. Can
think
I do a pause for a quick second?
oh God.
Who throws more innings in 2024, Edwin Diaz or Gerrit Cole?
Anyways,
I genuinely don't know how I'd answer that question right now.
I do. Edwin Diaz.
I don't know about that. If Gerrit Cole comes back in like June or July, it's him.
Again, this is just my right.
I
The red flag of him going to the most highly touted Tommy John doctor again tells you all you need to know. But I think another question that we have to talk about is, what do the Yankees think is their probability of re-signing Soto? Because I
Hi.
think that also has a big factor to play into this. Because again, with everything that's circling around, the Yankees right now aren't seen as the favorites of signing Soto. Right now, people are looking right at their crosstown rivals, the Mets, and Dylan's gonna get all happy for that. And I think your patience is very indicative on if you think that you can sign Soto. I think if they don't think that they can sign Soto, which I think right now is a very realistic expectation to have, you are almost forced into signing someone because you're going to be right back to where you were last year if you don't. You're going to have the same exact roster minus Juan Soto. So I think, especially with that in mind, the push isn't also because they're just the Yankees and they're always World Series or bust. You have 1 year of Soto guaranteed. And you have, usually it's you're the big bad wolf that will spend so much money to keep a guy that's the MO of the Yankees for all of human history. But you have someone miles away that does not see money as an object. He will pay as much money as it takes to get Juan Soto. So you really, again, that's also the other factor is you do not have Juan Soto guaranteed. So since you don't have Juan Soto guaranteed, you're almost forced into signing a guy like Blake Snell. You have to make a move. I don't think that it's as simple as signing Noah Syndergaard. If you sign Noah Syndergaard, you're not making the World Series. It's that simple.
Unless you know that Cole's coming back in June or July, which at this point you can't.
You can't.
Unless because stuff happens on the medical side, as to why they don't know 100% whether he's healthy or not right now. I'm using my wording very carefully as Nico is nodding in agreement. That's all I'm saying. They'll know by the end of this week, I'd assume, whether it's a June or July and he's good, or we won't see him until August of 2025. And they're hoping for the former, but there's the possibility of the latter. But you will, it's not going to be the type of situation where, oh, a month from now, we'll learn if he needs Tommy John or not. You will know soon.
Yeah.
They might already know, and they just don't want the public to know, and that's why he's going to Ella Trotz to confirm or deny anything. So don't think that it's like, oh, we don't know, the season's going to be imbalanced. No, you're gonna know soon. And hopefully, whether you're a Mets fan, a Yankee fan, a Red Sox fan, Gerrit Cole being on the mound, and I've said this about Jacob deGrom too, when they're on the mound, baseball's better. Whether you
Absolutely.
like calling him Kermit and make fun of him as a Red Sox fan, as I'm sure you've done countless times, Nico,
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole is a fun baseball pitcher to watch. And when he's gone, it sucks. So here's to hoping for a speedy recovery for Gerrit Cole. Whether the Yankees act or not, hopefully they give us some more content to make an instant reaction episode on. But Yankees talk for now in the books until Stropening Day happens. But the other injury we're going to quickly touch on because we're already pushing over half an hour, so we're not going to hold you for too much longer. Devin Williams injured, Milwaukee Brewers out 2 to 3 months. Back injury apparently flared up in September, went through a normal off season and came back, and it's not gotten any better. NL Central's wide open. That's what all this has to say, is pretty much that.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought the Brewers as serious contenders in the NL Central because I don't believe in them at all once they traded away Corbin Burns. But this is just another blow that you just hate to see. I mean, Devin Williams, again, you talk about Gerrit Cole when he's on the mound, baseball's better. Seeing the filthy changeup that Devin Williams has, that screwball, is just better for baseball. Seeing that thing just move and him being able to throw it a million times, like we're playing MLB The Show and he can just throw it wherever he wants, that's better for baseball. I mean, it sucks, especially when you take into account that, again, we're probably going to see him get traded sometime in the year where we're going to see him, make a move. And it was going to be really exciting, if especially if he went to like a very good team who was trying to make a playoff push, seeing him in October baseball. It sucks, and hopefully this doesn't tank his value too much, because again, I don't think this is going to be something that, I think it's just something he needs to take care of, and once it gets better, I think he'll be fine. But again, same thing, love to see him on the mound. He's a glory to watch when he's throwing that changeup.
And I think the thing to point out in Major League Baseball already, and shout out if you don't follow yet the Side Retired Twitter account at Side Retired Pod, the list of guys that are injured for at least the beginning, if not the entirety of 2024, I don't think we've seen a star. Like, obviously, injuries happen all the time. But this is, if you were to say the top 10 pitchers in baseball, Jacob DeGrom's on there, Gerrit Cole's on there, Sandy Alcantara's on there, Shane McClanahan's on there. Justin Verlander's on there. There's an argument for Max Scherzer to be on there. Kodai Senga could be on there. Walker Buehler, Brandon Woodruff, Kyle Bradish. Say his name. Lucas Giolito. Kodai Senga, Walker Buehler. Who else did I mention? Clayton Kershaw is out. Tyler
Yeah.
Molly is out. And now you've got Devin Williams. It's
Yeah. I'm looking at the list right now
star-studded.
on Twitter. It's terrible.
It's Cy Young after Cy Young, and they're all out for a decent amount of the season. So
Yeah. And there's a lot of people talking about what this may be. Is it there's like a couple purveying things. I don't think that that's kind of what matters. I think the more that matters is whatever it is, that's more on like the players. They kind of know what's been affecting them. It just needs to get fixed. I don't know if it's the pitch clock. I don't know if it's just that, oh, they're trying to throw harder. Like, there's kind of like mixed opinions on that. I've talked to some people who think that's very true, and I've talked to some people who are like, that's a crock. Like, I'm just trying to throw hard every single time. So it really has nothing to do with it. But it just sucks to see that there's, again, over a dozen guys that are number ones that we're not going to be seeing. Because again, all these marquee matchups that when you're in July and it's tough to watch baseball, I'm not gonna lie. Even though me and you, we watch baseball constantly, We're not going to sit here and tell you that in July, August, it doesn't get tough when you're in the 100th game of the season. The games that make you want to watch are Bueller against Shanahan, Scherzer against Senga, Cole against Alcantara, Verlander against DeGrom. Like, those are the things that make you want to watch baseball. And having all these guys out is something you hate to see.
Well, this was a positive
I
episode
know.
of the podcast, but good news. We will be back tomorrow with a very special guest joining the program. If you're a loyal listener, you've heard his voice before. We're going to have a lot of fun talk about probably the Yankees because he's a huge Yankees guy. So hopefully we'll lighten the mood. Maybe Blake Snell is signed by then, but big things to come. If you haven't checked out, speaking of a positive note, our interview from yesterday, that was a blast. A lot of fun conversations. If you want to learn how Nico can't catch a fly ball, definitely listen to that
Yo, don't put me on.
episode. But yeah, we will be back tomorrow. Cider Tired Pod, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, although TikTok's apparently getting banned in the US. So we'll see how that goes. But for Dylan and Nico, as well as the rest of the crew, until the next time, the side is retired.